Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas!
All right, welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
We are here at a very exciting point in this season.
Absolutely.
The Pats are, they seemingly back. They keep climbing the power rankings, two straight wins against crappy opponents, and all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, they're good. They're ready to go. And now we face the hottest team in the NFL, the Chiefs, arguably, between the Chiefs and Rams.
Yep.
5-0. Coming in, they got the, you know, the current MVP front runner, Pat Mahomes. He's the new kid on the block. And we, our defense has been good and bad and good and bad and bad. And now we get to face the most potent offense in the NFL.
Yep.
At home on Sunday Night Football. Could you ask for anything more in the middle of October?
No. It was a flex game, too. So they flex it to 8 p.m.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was supposed to be at 1 o'clock. Yeah, I think it was the 49ers...
Wow, strong move.
NFL. 49ers versus someone, yeah, because obviously it's Packers, yeah. 49ers, Packers, gone.
Oh, wait, that's on Monday night.
Okay, then so, it wasn't Packers.
Yeah, it was one of the other games, but yeah, good move. This is the best game of the weekend. Might as well put it on primetime.
Yeah, absolutely.
How lucky are the Pats to be playing this game at home?
Very lucky.
Yeah, even though the Chiefs beat us at home last year in opening night, the Arrowhead's one of the best home field advantages in the NFL. They've been rolling there this year, and some of our most epic losses were there.
Yeah.
So it's nice to avoid that psychic pain.
But we have won there. I mean, we won a playoff game there a couple years ago. Or did we win? No, that was at home. Yeah, that's right. Never mind. We haven't played there in a long time since the 2014 collapse.
Yeah. That was epic, but this is a totally different Chiefs team. Still got Andy Reid, still got an inventive offense, and the defense back then was scary. Remember Tom Bailey, Justin Houston, all the different players that they could run at you. This team doesn't have that. That's the difference. This is a one-sided football team, and anybody that looks at a 14-point posting by the Jaguars last week and says, oh, their defense is good, it's not. It's trash.
It's trash.
That's our only hope, really, is to outscore them, because our defense is kind of trash, too.
Well, our defense isn't bad. I think our defense is decent. I mean, we didn't, you know, last week... We didn't let up too many points against, what did we let up, 23?
24 to the Colts, but 24 almost to the Colts. In the second half. Which
a lot of it in garbage time.
Brady was within a touchdown.
But Brady threw two picks, so that makes it a lot easier for a team to get going offensively. Well, real quick, I mean, that game was kind of went as expected. I just wanted to mention that game before we jumped to Kansas City.
I know, it's so exciting to go forward, but yeah. That game was solid. We both expected total runaway. The only thing that threw a little bit of a wrench in that was the third and fourth quarter when the Colts came within striking distance at one point.
Well, because Brady threw two picks. He threw back-to-back picks off of bobbled passes.
Yeah.
So whenever you do that, it's going to be tough. It's going to be harder on a defense because now you're on the field immediately. And, oh, you're on the field immediately again and again. So they scored a couple times, which is tough to deal with. But just what I wanted to mention about that game that's got us so confident about this game coming up against the Chiefs is our offense had a complete turnaround. I mean, we got better 2 weeks ago against Miami, obviously 38-7, but everything wasn't firing on all cylinders. And this week, Julian Edelman comes back, and we are back to the old. Seems like they're, I mean, against a shitty Colts defense.
That's the thing. You really have to emphasize that.
It's really not bad.
I was actually pretty impressed with how much they actually played in them.
Yeah,
they stuck around for a lot longer than I expected them to. When it was halftime and it was 24-3, I expected them to totally fold up, go home,
like Miami did.
Yeah, Miami. That's what makes me believe more in this Colts team than Miami. I wonder if they play each other. They must. But yeah, it was a really good showing, particularly in the first half. I thought Brady he looks good, but he's not as good as he will be.
Yeah, he's still getting better.
He's still getting acclimated with Josh Gordon. It was nice to see Edelman out there.
Edelman looked great.
He looked great. Emotional bump. He was there when we needed him. That one drop on the left sideline hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
On his back shoulder, but you got to make that.
Well, it still hasn't played football for however long now, so you got to cut him some slack. But in terms of quickness and everything, which had me the most nervous about him, was seemed like no problem at all. I mean, he was catching punts, which I couldn't believe he was back there. He made one or two cuts during the during a punt return where it was like, oh, Julian Edelman's back. Like, wow. Like, stop on a dime, make a guy miss. Stop on another dime, make another guy miss. Like, back to back. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, the knee looks great. His quickness is totally there. We have another man beater because we've been relying on James White too much.
Yeah,
too much recently.
And yeah, James Light, like,
he looks
amazing.
Too.
He looks great.
But he's getting 14 targets a game, 10 catches, or 14 targets this game. He had like 10 catches. It seems like every game we're just leaning on him hard.
Mm-hmm. But
which is fine. I like to keep him fresh for crunch time, like this week.
Yep. Sony had another decent game, or pretty good game, 98 yards and a touchdown.
Sprung that big one in the fourth quarter. The blocking on that was outstanding.
Yeah.
Offensive line is the story of it for me.
Yeah, they're dominating up front.
They're continuing.
This is dominating. Like
fifth game together with Trent Brown at left tackle. The other guys are holdovers.
Yeah.
But they're gaining continuity. And if they just can be consistent at that level throughout, that's going to be just another huge.
Yeah, and that's what we were expecting. I mean, when we saw these guys in training camp, we're like, all right, this should be one of the top offensive lines in the league. And that's not an understatement. I mean, they've got the talent and they've got the coach to do it. So
I was watching Red Zone all day Sunday, and it's just horrible offensive lines. Can't protect any quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is gimpy, and they can't protect him.
Yeah.
So you should be using all your resources, all your energy. Guy can't get a break.
Yeah, and speaking of offensive linemen, did you hear the news that Matt Slauson broke his back in this game? He broke his spine.
He broke two vertebrae and stayed in the game.
And stayed in the game, they didn't know. And if he got landed on or hurt in the wrong way, he could have been paralyzed.
Could have been night-night.
So that's pretty scary. Yeah, but to get away from that, yeah, James White looked really good. The running back situation looks really good. And the other thing that I'm sure everyone was excited about was Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
Catching that.
Can we please talk about Josh Gordon's touchdown?
Ridiculous. So it was just like a broken play. Brady's got all day back there, and he's kind of just pointing the guys to go which way. Points to Josh Gordon to go right. Gordon goes towards the end zone. Brady just chucks up a Hail Mary. Not even a Hail Mary, but just a prayer. Just, all right, see what happens. Double coverage. And Gordon outjumps those two guys. I mean, the defenders didn't do anything to help themselves on that play. But
they look clueless. Totally clueless.
Totally clueless. But Gordon got the ball and looked pretty good. And earlier in the game, he caught a pass and over the middle again. And he takes the contact. And he almost, these other guys, Brandon Cooks in the past and stuff like that, they get the ball over the middle and they go down. He gets the ball over the middle and looks for the next guy.
Well, he's 6'3", 225. He's a different animal.
Yeah, he's
The thing to remember about that touchdown play, it was 24-17 at that point. It's 10 minutes to go in the game. It's 1st and 10 on their side of the field. And like you said, it was a prayer. It's 1st and 10. I was at the game. There was this dude. One of the guys ran down the center of the field. It was either Edelman or Hogan. It's hard to tell from the upper deck. But so they spring wide open right away. We're all screaming, throw to him. Brady scrambles around a little bit. Like you said, he's pointing his finger all over the place. And then he throws into double coverage on a guy that got held at the beginning of the play, started off on the left side of the hash marks and coming all the way back to the front pylon on the right. And Josh Gordon made a good play. He didn't make an outstanding play. It kind of seemed like the Colts defenders just didn't track the ball one bit. And if they had, I'm confident he would have outjumped them.
Yeah.
He didn't need to with how poorly they played the ball. But that decision by Brady, I was sitting there like, dude, we need to get this to a two-score game with 10 minutes to go. We've just given up like 17 straight points.
Yep.
14 straight points. But it all worked out. It was Brady's 500th touchdown, and it was a party. Straight-up party at that point.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And then after that, they just kind of rolled over him for the rest of the game for the however many minutes were left. But yeah, and Brady even said it after the game. He goes, you know, that shows how, you know, the trust I already have in a player like Josh coming in here so early, and that I could just, you know, throw that pass to him and feel confident about it, which is awesome.
I know, right?
And then on the flip side of the thing, this whole, you know, everyone keeps talking, you know, some people are saying, oh, he's in, it's all good. And then other guys are saying, yeah, it's good now. But the real thing with him comes down to if he's okay by, you know, if he's doing this and becomes a part of the offense, and then by week 10 or week 16 or playoffs come around and he's doing drugs and, you know, screws this whole thing up or whatever, that'll be a problem, which may, you know, there's a possible chance of that happening. But on the flip side of it, okay, you just put this guy in a new team. He caught a touchdown pass. And even in his press conference, you're listening to him, they go, how special this was this for you? And he goes, you know, any time I catch a pass from Tom, I feel real special about. Never mind when it's some record-breaking history book-type play.
Yeah.
He's like, that's insane. Like, and it's like, yeah, dude, you went from the Browns, and now you're here, and you have a chance to win the Super Bowl. Like, you have a chance to make a deep playoff run, possible Super Bowl, ridiculous stats and all kinds of crap. And if you do it, if you can do it for this season, your past, no one will care about your past anymore. You'll probably get a fuck ton of money.
Yeah, we've been saying this for weeks.
And you'll be in the history books.
Yeah, he's the upside on his story and his situation is incredible. He should be thanking his lucky stars that the NFL reinstated him. He's still got his athletic gifts, and he wound up in this.
Yeah.
And it's just, hopefully the coaches put him in a great position, and hopefully he takes advantage.
Yeah. And hopefully
everybody wins.
And if you, I mean, what I think, I mean, if this guy's going to succeed, well, what's better than, you know, what he's doing now on the football field? It's like, you are in the best situation. That, look at all you can achieve right here. Like, they're giving you the keys to the fucking Ferrari. Like, just fucking drive. Don't go 1,000 miles an hour with it. Just stay in your lane. Chill.
He's like a fourth option on this offense.
Which is
if you go Edelman, Gronk, James White, Josh Gordon, is he the fourth option?
Yeah.
Is it Chris Hogan?
Like, I don't know. I think Hogan is not doing too well.
He's taking, yeah. He remains pretty quiet. I expect him to have a couple breakout games, but if he doesn't, he doesn't.
Brady's not really looking at him.
He's got enough people to look at this point. After such having a dearth of options at that position, now they have an abundance.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's pretty nice. Let's hope they stay healthy. Now, I wanted to talk about the defense in this game. It was totally a tale of two halves.
Mm-hmm.
This is what makes me nervous about the Kansas City game, is because we saw our defense get tooled on by the Jags and the Lions. They stepped up against the at the time, 3-1 Dolphins, whatever, 3-0 Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came out in the first half and looked great. I thought Jason McCourty played an excellent first half. They were all over the place. It was like they could do no wrong. They only gave up 2 field goal attempts, one of them. But then the second half, it all fell apart. And the number one thing that jumps out to me, and I'm sure a lot of people, Eric Ebron was seemingly uncoverable. And when you go into this game, we were talking about it. It's like T.Y. Hilton is out. Jack Doyle is out. The only other option on this offense is Eric Ebron.
Right.
That's got to be your whole game plan, is limit that dude. And he goes for 100 yards and 2 TDs.
Mm-hmm.
Devin McCourty was roasted on most of them.
Yeah, they were definitely targeting whoever. At a certain point, it seemed like whoever McCourty was on.
You have to say this is Devin McCourty.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Number 32. whoever was on Hib, whoever he was on, they were going to. And it was pretty obvious. And Devin acknowledged that after the game. It's a great game, blah, 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 but I can't give up 3 touchdowns again. Like, casually said that. It's like, yeah, dude, like, that's insane. And actually, his brother, Jason, seemed like he played pretty, I mean, he wasn't playing against any kind of talent, but he played really well.
That's what I was saying. Jason McCourty, this was the best I've seen him play for us, hands down.
Yeah, which was nice.
He played great. I mean, just the rest of the defense really seemed pretty good to me. It seems like up front, Danny Shelton and Larry Guy are really taking over those top D tackle spots. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be a rotation, but it seems like those are our front line guys.
Yeah.
When we need something, those are the ones that are out there. I want to see more edge rush.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have the personnel. Just somebody's got to take another step, and it should be Dietrich Wise. And can Derek Rivers please get on the field? That guy cannot. He can't make the active roster.
Yeah. Claiborne was getting decent rushes, but he's only got the one move.
That's the thing, is Claiborne does what he does.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's valuable. But you can't expect – the guy's been in the league for like 8 years. You can't expect him to take some quantum leap.
Right.
But somebody like Derek Rivers, Dietrich Wise, could give you something you don't see right now.
Yeah, because outside of Trey, well, I feel like when Van Noy rushes, or even Hightower a little bit, they get some pressure. They get more pressure.
Yeah, those are our two best edge rushers outside of Trey Flowers, who's actually better on the interior.
Right. So hopefully they'll figure that out. I mean, it's a night and day story from when we saw them in Houston getting tons of pressure. But that's because they had a sieve of an offensive line. But on the flip side of that, there's not a lot of good offensive lines either in the league. So,
yeah, I know, right? They should be able to take advantage of some. I don't know if we'll be seeing one next week. But you look around the AFC and they exist.
Yeah.
The Texans are a premier example. Especially the NFC, actually. The Vikings, Packers. There are a couple teams out there that are really good teams that struggle up front.
Seattle,
geez. I wouldn't put them in the very good team. The Eagles, as Jason Peters is like on and off the field, and mm-hmm. whenever he's out, it's a train wreck. The whole left side of that offensive line falls apart. I was actually thinking Van Noy looks great on the edge. He looks out of place in the middle, usually.
Yeah.
But when he's on the edge, he's a difference.
He's pretty good out there. Yeah, definitely. Good win. Nothing to go crazy over. Just nice for them to keep getting wins. Jason McCord, who's excited after the game, he came in. He was like, I'm not used to winning this much. And he was all screaming.
Two times in 2 weeks?
Yeah. So hopefully he keeps going with that fire. Yeah.
How lucky is it that the schedule worked out this way where the Pats have the short week and so they got a long week leading up to the biggest game of the season so far?
Huge.
I know, right?
Huge.
I bet the Chiefs are pretty livid about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, who figured the Chiefs would be this good? No one.
Yeah, you never know. I bet they did.
Yeah,
but
sure.
They were pretty confident.
You can't take anything. It's nothing.
We mentioned that the Chiefs beat the Jaguars last weekend. Ugly game. It was really misty out there. And
yeah, it was really
wet. Jags had like 5 turnovers, I think. Blake Bortles was the guy we know. He did. He didn't quit in the fourth quarter, which was nice, but I think he threw like 3 picks and had a fumble, something like
that. It was bad. It's like, where was that during the Patriots game?
The pick 6 on the screenplay was ugly.
Yeah, real bad.
Chris Jones, a pretty good defensive tackle, but he threw it directly at his head.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty bad. But, Kansas City has been killing people.
Yeah.
Not just the Jags, but pretty much everybody.
The next best team in the AFC, record-wise at least, is the Bengals.
Which is stunning.
Cincinnati Bengals, another team that has some offensive line problems. They took care of business in the fourth quarter against the Dolphins. They were losing 17-3 and put up a 24-burger.
Yeah.
In the fourth because the Dolphins just couldn't hang on to the ball.
Yep.
Another pick 6 to a defensive lineman.
Well, Cincinnati's record's also... I mean, I don't think they've really played anyone at all.
Who was there to play?
That's the thing. There's no one to play. Baltimore? I think they lost to Baltimore.
Yeah, they lost to Baltimore on Thursday night. That was their
only loss. Baltimore is decent.
Baltimore just lost to the Browns. The Browns, by the way, refuse to
win
a game in regulation.
They just can't do it. They can't even play a game, get a game finished in regulation. I feel like all of them went to overtime. All 5 games, it feels like they went to overtime.
I think that's their plan, is to just go for ties. Straight up ties. And then, hey, if they throw us a pick 6, we'll drop it, mm-hmm. like they did against the Steelers. Or we'll just shank the kick. The kick that won that game was the ugliest kick of the season. And it went in. It must have gotten tipped the way it came out.
I don't know, man. That was really ugly. That was really, really ugly.
The write-up I'm looking at right here says, rookie Greg Joseph's 37-yard field goal, a knuckleball that barely cleared the crossbar.
Yeah, it was bad.
So maybe it was just a hideous kick.
It was bad.
But that's the state of the AFC right now, where the Ravens can look like they're a contender, and then they could lose to the Browns. And now, are the Browns for real? They're not. Tell you right now, they're not.
Man, I'm telling you, I have as much faith in them as I do as most of the NFL.
Yeah, but there's like the Bengals are a better team than the Browns.
Probably. Have they played each other yet?
The Steelers are definitely a better team than the Browns. The Steelers got off the schneid with a big win against the Falcons. Like we said last week, Falcons defense banged up beyond repair.
Terrible.
Steelers put up 41.
The Bills with another win.
Yeah, that's a perfect example of a letdown game.
Titans.
Yeah, right after the Titans had big win in overtime against the defending Super Bowl champion, and then they go into Buffalo and just lay an egg.
Yep.
It was classic. It was just what the Jaguars did the week before that.
Mm-hmm. And then the Broncos, after playing a really good game against the Chiefs, go and get their asses beat by the Jets.
Yeah.
You've got...
They're a different team outside of Mile High.
Literally. I think the most hilarious and pathetic thing was Green Bay losing to the Lions because their kicker missed 10 points worth of kicks.
way more than 10 points.
Was it 13?
I thought he missed four. Did he miss three field goals?
Thought it was three field goals and like two extra points, or was it four field goals? He could have missed another one. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
And they would have won. They lost 31 to 23. So if he made most of those kicks or all of them, they would have won.
Yeah, and they were pretty easy kicks, too. A lot of them was. I think one of them was, yeah, he was 1 of 5 on field goals and 0 for 1 on extra.
Okay, so 13, what was that? How many points? That 13 points.
13 points left on the field.
Oh, my God. Real bad. Mason Crosby used to be a good kicker.
He might be back. I'm not willing to put the name.
I think they should cut him.
Just after one game?
Done.
Pull the Mike Zimmer. Did you see the game? Performance.
Yeah, did you see it? Did you see the game? Panthers inched it out against the Giants. Giants just can't sniff a win.
Oh, my. That kick, that's one of the best kicks I've ever seen. 63-yarder, C-level.
Yeah, that was awesome. Game winner, walk-off. Forgot that was this game. Unbelievable.
There's only been, it's been like four field goals of that length. I know it wasn't a playoff kick, so I wouldn't put it up there with Vinatieri and the snowball.
Yeah.
But 63 yards, game winner. Not at Mile High. Though like half of the 63-yarders are at Mile High or in a dome.
Pretty impressive. Very impressive. Chargers keep rolling over the Raiders. Raiders can't do anything. Cardinals, Niners just sucked all around.
Yeah, that's a misser.
Speaking of which, apparently they have two linebackers, or at least a linebacker and a safety linebacker hybrid on the trading block.
Who's the safety linebacker hybrid? Is that Deion Buchanan?
Buchanan, yeah.
Oh, that guy's available?
Supposedly. And then also their other first-round pick from last year.
Yeah, Hassan Reddick. I saw that. Hassan Reddick was he is a freak athlete. I saw he played defensive end at Temple, and he was a really good edge rusher. And I just never understood why going into the draft people wanted to turn him in.
He's only 6'1".
He's only 6'1"?
Yeah, he's like 6'1", 230.
Wow. So yeah, that dropped him way down in my book. But we got trash at inside linebacker. Let's fill
that's
it out.
I've been,
some
that's what I'm saying, dude. There you go. You were like, who are we gonna trade?
Yeah.
One of those guys.
If we could get Deion Buchanan, are you kidding me?
They were saying they're
like
the
next
fourth
level
round,
Patrick Chung.
Like a fourth round pick for one of those guys.
Deion's probably making some serious money, but Reddick's on his rookie deal for another 2 years after this year.
Yeah.
That might be the play.
That would be a great play. I'd love it. I'm sure Belichick would find a way to use him.
And we've traded with the Cardinals before. Chandler Jones is there, by the way, lighting it up.
Yeah. The
Chandler
only
Jones.
Only person lighting it up.
Oh my God, he's so good though.
Yeah. Vikings eked it out against the Eagles. Eagles aren't looking great.
I don't know. When you lose by 2 points to a really good team.
I thought they looked bad, though.
They didn't. Yeah. I can't believe some Eagles fans are like anti-Carson Wentz.
Yeah, why?
What are you? They're idiots. They got the patience of a four-year-old.
They want to put in Foles?
Yeah. Because he looked great at the start of the season.
That's what I was going to say. He played like two games and was benched.
Yeah. He looked terrible. He
looked awful.
I don't know where they get off thinking that.
The guy plays one good game every 3 years, literally. It's all Foles can do. He's like, I got one for you every 3 years. The Super Bowl, and then the one where he threw like 5 touchdowns three or 4 years ago. That was
it. Well, he also had the NFC Championship game where they lit up this Vikings.
True.
Who at the time had a very good defense. Now the jury's still out for this
season. Well, exactly.
They missed Terrence Newman. He was the 40-year-old wonder playing slot cornerback.
Yeah, the
you can't
magic.
Even get a 24-year-old to play slot cornerback.
Yeah, the magic.
They're too slow.
Yeah, right. Rams beat Seattle, no surprise there. And then the Cowboys lost to the Texans. I mean, that was kind of an ugly game.
Yeah, that was a pretty ugly game. Both of those teams are spiraling.
Ugly.
I don't know why the Cowboys receivers. I was looking at the stats, and I'm just like, I don't recognize any of these guys.
They're bad.
Their receiving core is terrible. Cole Beasley isn't quite the player he used to be when he third, fourth. And there's not a lot of help for Dak. And Zeke only goes for 50 yards on 20 carries. That offense.
No.
And on the other side, the Texans can't protect Deshaun Watson worth a thing.
No.
Can't get a running game going. Deshaun Watson's like might be their best running back. Lamar Miller didn't play. I know that. But DeAndre Hopkins, I've been saying for a long time, he is not like a top five receiver.
Yeah.
I'm eating my words.
Yeah, you like that?
Big time.
I told you.
Big time.
Doesn't get separation. Doesn't get separation.
I know. It doesn't matter.
Did you see that play where he just spun out of two tackles? That was crazy.
I didn't know he had that yak ability.
Oh, that's what he's got the range and the yak. That's what he's got.
I don't know what you mean by range.
Like catch radius.
Oh yeah, and he's got like, he might have the best hands in the
probably.
He's right at the top of that.
You never see him drop a pass.
Yeah, he's got freakish hand strength.
And you said I think you said you couldn't play with Tom Brady.
Did I say that? Oh,
I feel like you did. He doesn't get separation. Brady won't like him. Yeah, okay. Sounds like something you would say.
I know it does. I believe I said.
All right.
Talk too much shit.
And then to wrap it up, the Saints beat the crap out of the Redskins. Drew Brees broke Peyton Manning's record, which is definitely quite an achievement. I just don't feel like it's as cool just because Peyton Manning just broke it a few years ago and it was standing for 20-some-odd years.
Yeah.
And then 2 or 3 years later, it's broken again. It's like, oh, okay, that's sweet. But
that's what happens when you change the rules every year and you go, how can I get a little more offense? How can I do this? How can I make a quarterback's life easier? That's all they're doing. That's why Dan Marino's shit is so impressive.
Yeah.
And before Marino, when Marino was breaking like Johnny Unitas records, like how is Johnny Unitas doing that in the age when teams would carry 3 fullbacks? Or whatever they did.
Pass interference wasn't a thing.
Yeah, it wasn't invented yet.
Tackle people out there whenever you wanted. It's amazing anyone caught anything.
I was thinking when I watched that game, what is like the best, you know, in pro baseball, there's like the 60 home runs or 61 home runs, depending on. And there's not like, is there a biggest record in football? I was trying to think that. I think it might be Eric Dickerson's 2,100.
Oh, you mean like the untouchable
record? No, not untouchable, just like it's a very famed record. Because the passing yards...
Games played.
Games played's a good one.
Brett Favre.
No, he doesn't.
Brett Favre.
He absolutely doesn't have it. I think Bruce Matthews has it.
Maybe only for quarterback. Most wins? Tom Brady's about to get that.
I think the biggest stat is Super Bowl wins. It's rings.
Yeah, you're right, because nobody knows those. Like, oh, Bruce Mathis. Nobody knows that.
Matthews. You don't Matthews. Even know his name.
Right. No, I know who that is. But yeah, you're right. He like nobody even knows. Like if you asked an average NFL football fan who holds the most rushing yards or most receiving yards, I mean
in a game or in a career?
In a season. Probably in a season is more popular.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would know. I don't know if like how many people would actually know Eric Dickerson. Maybe the old timers.
Yeah, maybe. But like I suppose like career home run record, like 755, Hank Aaron. I know Barry Bonds broke it. I don't know what it is now. But that's like, I don't know if football has an equivalent, like, famed stat. I guess home run is a big thing. You would think touchdowns. Maybe it's passing touchdowns in a year, like Peyton Manning's 55.
Yeah, that's
Brady
big.
Had 50. That's a big
one. That's a big one. And wins. No, and Super Bowl wins, like Super you said. Win.
Now, but, let's look forward. Let's talk about these. So I was watching the highlights of the Chiefs and Jaguars game. Jaguars may be the best defense in the NFL. Chiefs put up 30. They put up 30-plus in every game except for one against the Broncos. They put up like 27 in that game.
That's in Mile High.
In Mile High with the best the Broncos could have hoped to play.
Yeah.
At least defensively.
I mean, they don't have a good team, so.
Yeah, exactly. But the offense appears unstoppable. You're looking around. Pat Mahomes is zinging the ball all over the field. He moves pretty well. He throws with more accuracy than I expected, especially on the move, especially from different arm angles. Mm-hmm. Just when he's uncomfortable, it's still dropping it in the bucket. And then Kareem Hunt tore us up last year in the opener. We couldn't do anything in the run game and the pass game against him. He's equally as good now, if not better. You got Travis Kelce playing at the top of his game. Tyreek Hill is just a
beast.
He's a game wrecker on all three levels.
Open field nightmare.
And then just to back that up, they got Sammy Watkins, who is an outstanding number two receiver who can get deep. He's got speed. And then you just throw in DeAnthony Thomas, track star from California, kid played at Oregon. He's been a return man, but if you give him a jet sweep, he can make things happen. Look what Corey Grant did to us on the Jaguars. He's like DeAnthony Thomas is at least that good.
Well, not Chris better. Connolly is their third guy, too.
Yeah, Chris Connolly ran a 4.3 something at the combine and jumped 45 inches.
Yeah.
They have freaks everywhere.
And it shows. They're second in scoring offense in the league with 35 points, fifth in yards at 413. But on the flip side of things on defense, as you were saying, not so much the same story. 20th in points allowed at 25.8, 32nd in yards, giving a whopping 461.8 yards per game.
Does it say who is 31st? because I'm pretty sure the Chiefs have given up like 400 more yards than the second place team.
No, like, it just gives their stuff. I could probably look it up though.
They are outstandingly bad.
But now here's
at containing other offenses.
Now here's an interesting fact though, because I'm looking at this, the Chiefs only give up for third down conversion is actually they have a really good conversion rate, which is weird. They only give up 17 of 58 third downs this year.
What?
While letting up 400. Yeah, I don't know how that's possible, but that's what it's shown.
Wow, that math is outstanding. If they're giving up 30% convert third down conversions
while letting while giving up 460 yards a game.
Yeah,
so first and second down are just a nightmare for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Complete disaster.
Canadian football against them, just getting it on and second down or going for it on fourth because the Chiefs have been many goddamn things you can't punt them.
Which, and then if you want to compare it to the Patriots, since now it's week five, we can kind of start getting into these league stats a little bit. They finally mean something.
Yeah.
Patriots are ninth scoring offense, 26.6, so not that far off from the Chiefs at number one or number two. Eh, kind of far off, never mind. 22nd in yards, 357 a game. Break it down off rushing and passing, 21st in passing yards allowed, 13th in rushing. And on defense, conveniently, we were 9th in the league in points allowed.
How about that?
21.6, 16th in yards, not that bad, 366, 252 passing, 114 rushing. So rushing is really where our weak spot is there. But overall, not pretty good. So like you said, it really comes down to
which defense can do more.
Yeah, and I think it's ours. I think Brady is going to have his way with this defense. I mean, you're going over who's missing the game. I mean, I don't even recognize a lot of these guys on this defense anymore. I mean, they got rid of their all-star cornerbacks from a couple years ago. And Marcus Peters and whoever the hell else they used to have.
They had Brandon Flowers. That was a while ago.
Flowers was a while ago. I mean, I recognize Alan Bailey. He's nothing special. Benny Logan, didn't they draft him a couple years ago?
I thought he came over from the Eagles.
Okay. Chris Jones was a cast-off from us, if that's him, but that might not be him.
That's definitely not him.
Okay.
That Chris Jones came out very highly touted from Mississippi State, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He was either a first or second-round pick and definitely had first-round talent.
Okay. All right.
Their best defensive player is Dee Ford.
Yeah.
Hands down, it's Dee Ford. Edge rusher, first-round pick out of Auburn. He leads the NFL in pressure.
Oh, really?
At least according to Pro Football Focus.
And he is playing.
He's playing. He got kicked out of last week's game, but after getting a forced fumble.
Yeah. So
I don't remember exactly why he got ejected, but he's the person to focus on.
I think he took the quarterback down by the legs.
Oh,
became
suspended.
Yeah, I doubt it. But
it would have happened already. Justin Houston, however, their other premier edge rusher, out likely after he got injured last week.
Yep.
He didn't practice today, and they expect him to miss a couple weeks, but he hasn't been officially ruled out.
Yep, so that's big there. The other guy, they got Frank Zombo, who was really just a fill-in at this point.
Yeah.
Is Tom Bali still even on this team?
No. I feel like he's out of the league.
Yeah.
He was old. I think he was drafted in 06. He
yeah, he was an old guy.
He was getting up there. I know before everyone starts yelling at me, Eric Berry hasn't played a snap yet this season and still didn't practice today. We don't know if he's going to play. So I know if Eric Berry's playing, he's the best player in that defense.
By far. And we don't know what he's doing yet.
But you don't know. And they said he was held up with bone spurs in his foot. You don't know what type of player you're going to see, but if he was out there and as healthy as he was at the beginning of last season, remember in that opener game,
Gronkowski all over the
was
place.
Unavailable.
Yeah,
Gronkowski was might as well not assume. But if Barry's not there, then Gronk is a completely viable option. And I was watching the, like I said, the Jaguars game. They had some kid that I had never heard of, and we just saw the Jaguars like 3 weeks ago tear up our defense. I was like, who the hell? Oh, it was DJ Chark, the rookie from LSU. I think he was injured for our game, but he was taking advantage of their right cornerback, Steven Nelson, who seemed to be in good coverage. He seems like an athlete, but he's shorter and he doesn't play the ball well, doesn't find it well, and just making catches easily over him. And I'm just picturing Josh Gordon doing the exact same thing and then stiff arming to the ground and taking off.
That would be nice.
I would expect at least two deep throws to Josh Gordon on the left side of the field against Steven. Calling it right now.
All righty. Heard it here first. They also have Reggie Ragland, which I figured he would be a lot better than he is.
Yeah, he was
Alabama player.
Yeah, he was one of those Alabama guys. He had a really short leash in Buffalo. They shipped him out of town right away, and he's a starter there.
And
he's
by the
heavier linebacker, he's not that good in coverage.
Mm-hmm. Just to update on that stat, so Kansas City Chiefs are last in the league in yards allowed. Tampa Bay is 31st, right behind them at 445. And then next one is Oakland, and you have a pretty quick drop there to 400 yards.
Yeah, I just pulled that off. It's almost a 300-yard difference between first and second place in terms of worst in total defense. And then it's a 15-yard gap between second and third. And it keeps going like that, 15, 3, 11, 5. They are far and away the worst defense from a yardage perspective.
Yeah.
So there should be opportunities there. I don't know what they can do well. It's really just cover up, make sure D4 doesn't wreck the game.
Yeah, which should be fine with the way our offensive line isn't playing.
Yeah, and they'll just pay attention to him.
Right. Just give him some extra shoves.
Pay some attention to him, and then, yeah, move on with your day. Throw the ball downfield. They don't have anybody that scares me on the back end. Ron Parker's like 90 years old at free safety. Kendall Fuller's a decent player. Orlando Scandrick's been everywhere. Just take advantage. Use all your weapons. I think they play a ton of zone. We're just going to just tear them up.
Brady should tear them up. I don't know how much they're going to stop us. I feel like it's going to be one of these games where...
Like the Super Bowl?
We barely punt.
Yeah.
Almost never punt. Yeah. On the flip side of the ball, I feel like they are going to score on just about every possession, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, unless we turn the ball over, which we have been doing well. I feel like we're going to probably cause two turnovers, whether it's a fumble, interception, whatever, and that might be the difference.
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. I don't think we can do really anything.
To slow this down.
Our defense is slow. This is the fastest offense I can think of. They're loaded with talent. They stretch the field horizontally, vertically, and their offensive line is pretty decent. It's not great. I think the weak link is Cameron Irving at left guard.
Mm-hmm.
He was a first round pick of the Browns a few years ago and washed out there. Now they got him playing guard after he was a center and he was a left tackle in college. He just can't find a place. Eric Fisher has turned things around at left tackle after being a bit of a disappointment as a number one overall pick. But Mitchell Schwartz, those guys are solid. I think we need to attack Cam Irving and then hope and pray. That's really about it. Are we going to be able to confuse Mahomes? I don't think so.
Maybe. I wouldn't write that out.
Yeah, but...
He's a young guy.
Nobody's been able to confuse him yet, and he's like incredibly coached. He's got Andy Reid is a quarterback whisperer over there.
You think so, huh?
Yeah. Look at the quarterbacks he's played with. They've all played better with him than without him.
Well, who are the coaches he's played? If you want to say no one's confused him.
Oh.
Let's take a look at the defensive-minded guys. I'm trying. This goddamn thing won't fucking load. Here we go.
It's always an issue.
So the Chargers.
Yeah, that's not going
to
hurt anybody.
No defensive mind over there. Pittsburgh, you know what I think about fucking them if you've been listening to this show. San Fran, I don't even know if they have a defensive coordinator. Denver. Jacksonville's the only one.
Jacksonville's the one.
But they don't. And I don't know about their defensive coordinator as much as their team and Tom Coughlin knows Bill Belichick. And that's kind of why they've worked well against us.
And they're a great defense.
They have great talent. They've great talent.
Yeah, they play the Seattle defense. They play the three deep corners.
Right.
Three deep coverage. They don't do it exclusively. They definitely get into some man coverage, especially. They did get two picks off Mahomes, though. That's saying something. His first two interceptions of the season came last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible. I think if they have to get pressure, and I don't know how they can both cover the speed deep and get pressure. So I feel like you should try to send the pressure, and hopefully they just score fast.
Right.
And then we get more possessions. I don't even know.
I mean, how would you cover it? I mean, how would you even try to cover it?
With your speed?
You need people. You need seven guys in the box anyways for Hunt.
Well, no. They're going to be three receivers out there most of the time. Sherman does get a decent amount of time at full.
And we have a pretty bad run defense.
Yeah. So do you do it that way? Do you do the old Peyton Manning defense where you just let them run the ball 50 times and be like, hey, you're getting 5 yards a carry? Until you get in the red zone, and then those safeties are no longer 20 yards deep. They're actually 10 yards deep. There's not that much depth to get, and then you stop them in the red zone.
Maybe. The only problem with that is when we used to do that, we had a good run defense, so it would be limited to 4 to 6 yards. Now, yeah. Right now, our run defense isn't that great, so if we start giving them that, I'm worried that, hey, those 4 to 6 yards turns into 10 to 12 yards, which won't help anything.
It won't help.
But it might work.
It accomplishes the same thing, which is let them get to the red zone and then try to stop them there.
Yeah. And, I mean, what do you put? Gilmore on Watkins, Jonathan Jones and Tariq Hill, double coverage.
That's what I was thinking. Jonathan Jones is going to have a big day.
And then a safety, Patrick Chung on Kelsey.
We're going to need vintage Patty Chung.
I mean.
Need him to drop about 24 months.
And then
I would say put Devin McCourty over there, but after what we saw last week, I'm not going to say that.
Oh, God, no. And then Jason McCourty on the third receiver.
Yeah.
And Eric Rowe is back.
Okay.
But, or coming back, supposedly. But, yeah, I mean, maybe that's the play. You just put, like, six secondary guys out there and say, all right, we're going to double two of them.
Yeah.
And man exactly. up with two of them and see if he can run it.
Yeah, and see how far that gets you. And the whole time we'll be trying to strip the ball. I don't think Kareem Hunt has fumbled it.
No, he does not. It's going to be tough. I mean, Kareem Hunt's having a good year, but he's only at 4 yards a carry. He's not as good as he was last year, a little slower. But, yeah, man, Kelsey, Tariq Hill, I mean, those two together are dangerous. The first game of the season, Tariq Hill came out of the scene and blew the doors off the place.
Yeah. Oh, I saw.
It was insane.
I was watching. Yeah, that's the other thing, that the Patriots can usually rely on winning the special teams battle. Not so much in this game. Tyreek Hill is dangerous returning kicks.
Yep.
I don't know if he does kickoffs or just punts, but he's a terror back there. And then their kicker, Butker, hasn't missed a field goal attempt all year.
Well, means there's going to hopefully they have a couple opportunities to miss some this time.
Good thing is they're in a tough spot, too.
Yeah, and Bill Belichick said 10 days to check this out.
Yeah, as if they weren't looking ahead a couple weeks ago.
Which is pretty good. I mean, Bill Belichick, I don't know what his record is, but it's on an extended week. It's got to be like 90% wins or something.
Yeah, but his record on a normal week is like 85% or something.
Which means he's even better.
Well, it's like 75%. I think Brady's record's like 75%. Yeah. It's going to be a great game. Take the over. Actually, everyone's going to take the over, so who knows?
Watch it be just like a fucking 9-7 game or something.
Sometimes that happens out of nowhere.
It does, man. I doubt it. I mean, with the way our offenses are playing, I can't imagine that. But
yeah. Real quickly, some of the other games this weekend. Not a great slate. Not that many good games. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati is going to tell us a lot about where those two teams are at.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other game that sticks out to me, actually Baltimore at Tennessee, oddly enough. Baltimore has had their ups and downs. Tennessee was way up, and then last week they lose to the Bills. And you're like, I don't understand what's happening here.
I kind of like watching the Browns, man. Browns, Chargers.
I like
watching
the Browns a lot, too. Yeah,
Browns, Chargers, that's not a bad game.
That's a good challenge. Lucky that they're at home. Because the Chargers don't travel well. They don't like to go across, what is that? That's three time zone. That's a lot for them. And to play an early game, they're playing essentially a 10 a.m. game on their schedule.
Yeah, you're right. The game is pretty much Kansas City at New England. It's funny. It seems like there's a trend this year that, like, if, like, the whole day of football sucks, but there's one or two huge games and all the other games are trash. Yeah. Or there's, like, five games that are, like, good. And no, like, super, super matchup. It's like one or the other. It hasn't been like a slate of all good games and like a major, you know, major premier game.
Yeah, I think it goes that way. And sometimes when you think that they're crappy games, they'll actually be very entertaining. You see a bunch of overtime games. Just last week, you're like, oh, who's going to want to watch the Browns and Ravens? Overtime game, crazy finish.
Well, hey, man, you're talking about Denver at home. Don't write that game off. L.A. going to Denver?
Yeah. L.A.'s defense took a big step back against the Seahawks. I thought the Rams' defense was pretty solid. They lose both starting cornerbacks, and things are falling off the wheels a little bit defensively for them. Aaron Donald hasn't been the same player after missing all the training camp and preseason. Mm-hmm. And Ndamukong Suh is old. And we talked about before the season that they don't really have anything at the linebacker position, so they were just relying on the front four and the cornerbacks. and now you lose both cornerbacks, and the front four is not playing to the same level you want them to.
Yeah,
things don't look nearly as good. However, Denver's offense is trash.
Yeah,
I don't know why Demaryius Thomas can't make more of an impact. Emmanuel Sanders is still a very good player, but Case Keenum's leash is getting shorter and shorter, and we might see Chad Kelly sometime soon.
You think so?
I think so. I think, yeah, probably in November, see Chad Kelly.
All righty.
It's a one-year deal for Case Keenum, right? Send him off.
Theo, man, I don't know. I don't know if it was 1 year.
Yeah, maybe I'm thinking of Sam Brad.
But so what do you think? What's your prediction?
I'm going to go. My brain wants me to choose the Chiefs.
Really?
It does, but I'm not going to.
I'm confident.
Yeah. I think the Chiefs are going to have to settle for more field goals than they expect to. And that's going to drop them down to 30 points, 30 on the nose. And I think the Pats will be able to get 30.
I'm on board with you at 34. I think it's going to be 34-26.
Okay. Yeah, same thing. I mean, four field goals.
From what I,
three.
Yep, exactly. I just feel like in these situations where you have two really good offenses, the team with the better defense generally wins. It's like the home team and the team with the better defense. I'm sorry. The team with the better defense generally wins. And we've got both of those going for us right now.
Yeah. Just look back at the Super Bowl. Better defense won.
That's all. They made one more play than we fucking did, and they won. That was it.
I know, right? And for everyone listening, be aware that this is going to be a very frustrating
game. Yeah.
I already know it. I'm just looking ahead being like, I can't believe they can't defend a jet sweep ever.
Yeah.
They just, like, it's a brand new thing every time. That it drives me nuts. They're going to turn somebody loose in coverage. We're going to have poor tackling. I already know it. It's going to, and the pass rush, since Mahomes does so well outside of the pocket, he actually had the most passing yards outside the pocket in a game like 2 weeks ago. That's happened in like 15 years.
We didn't even talk about that. He's really dangerous outside the pocket, but he's like taking a step on what Deshaun Watson did last year, where he can run around as much as you want, and he's got the speed to, you know, take off and get a first down. But he doesn't unless he has to. He runs around looking to make a play down the field.
He's a better thrower than a passer.
Yeah.
Better thrower than a runner.
Yeah, and he's really good at throwing.
Yeah, so
and he's a good runner too.
So as much as we want the pass rush to get home, they're probably going to do, at least a lot of the time, they're going to do that containment. Controlled,
yeah,
that
rush.
Real controlled, contained rush. And even that's just going to drive you nuts when he's sitting back there for 6 seconds and you're like, God damn it. How are we supposed to stay with Tyreek Hill for 6 seconds? So, yeah, it's going to be frustrating, but it's going to be a lot of fun as long as they win. God.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week to recap this and all the other action around the NFL.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll catch y'all later.
Adios.